Welcome to Seeking Alpha's Stocks to Watch, Wall Street Breakfast's Weekend Edition, our news team's weekend preview of upcoming IPOs, earnings reports, conference presentations, investor days, FDA decisions, Barron's mentions, and other key events that could impact stocks to set you up for the week ahead in the markets. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Happy Holiday Week! Today is December 22nd, and I'm your host, Rena Scherbel. We begin with a breakdown of the week ahead from Seeking Alpha's news team. Investors are due for a light period of action, with Christmas landing right smack in the middle of the week. The markets close at 1 p.m. on December 24th, before taking a day off on Christmas. Despite the holiday vibe, intriguing economic reports will come in this week on new home sales and durable goods, although the earnings calendar and corporate event schedule are both pretty bare. Across the Pacific, the latest update on China trade data could be interesting. While Chinese, Japanese, and South Korean leaders are gathering in southern China to work on a potential free trade deal. And finally, even if you don't believe in Santa Claus, you can believe in the Santa Claus rally. The S&P 500 index has posted an average gain of 1.3% during the final five trading days of the year and the first two trading days of the new year over the last 70 years. Not bad return for the eggnog break. Amazon Prime has exclusive UK streaming rights to every Premier League soccer game scheduled for Boxing Day in a development that's shaking up the holiday a bit for Brits. Amazon has hired high-profile ex-players like Alan Shearer, Jermaine Jenas, Michael Owen, and Thierry Henry to help with the broadcast. Covering sports in international markets is something the Seattle tech giant is dabbling with, including recently securing the rights to show select Champions League matches in Germany. The growing presence by Amazon into sports could give it an advantage over Netflix with some fans in international markets. As for Boxing Day, Amazon's high-profile streaming appearance lines up well with what is one of the biggest shopping periods of the year in the UK. Last year, British consumers spent almost 5 billion euro on Boxing Day, with 75% of the spending done in stores. Will the Amazon Premier League tie-in lead to more online sales this year? No new U.S. pricings are expected in the week ahead for IPOs. IPO lockups expire on Cambium Networks on December 23rd, Change Healthcare, Bridge Biopharma, Adaptive Biotechnologies, Morphic Holding on December 24th, and The RealReal and Karuna Therapeutics on December 26th. Keep an eye on Bridge Biopharma and Karuna Therapeutics in particular. Bridge Bio's up 115% from its IPO, and Karuna's up 360%. Meanwhile, RealReal could ride out the lockup expiration in fine fashion, with analysts still very bullish. In M&A news, the tender offer on the Carbonite Open Text deal expires on December 23rd. Shareholders at Pivotal Software vote on the VMware deal on December 27th. During the holiday break, there could be some M&A scuttlebutt over Metafast Gaming and Leisure Properties, Vici Properties, and Cirrus Logic. Did you know that the biggest shopping day of the year was Saturday? The NRF estimates 148 million U.S. consumers will participate this year on Super Saturday to top the 134 million that participated last year. By comparison, about 190 million people shopped at stores and online during the full five-day Thanksgiving weekend that included Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Spending for the day is seen coming in over $34 billion as a shorter Thanksgiving to Christmas period, and strong economic activity are seen as supportive of holiday purchasing. Of note, several research firms have pointed to the proprietary channel checks showing prices are steady for retail beasts like Walmart, Amazon, and Target. The same, however, isn't true for struggling mall chains like American Eagle Outfitters, Urban Outfitters, and Children's Place, which are leaning on promotions. The late shopping surge adds a bit of pressure, as always, to FedEx and UPS, two stocks that faltered last week when FedEx disappointed with its gloomy guidance. Immunomedics could hear next week if its resubmitted BLA for accelerated approval in metastatic triple-negative breast cancer patients has been accepted for FDA review. PDUFA dates arrive for Correvio Pharma and Kinepid, Direct for Pasmir, and Intracellular Therapies for Lumateperone. The clock is ticking on EV tax credits for Tesla and General Motors after the Trump administration and Congress ignored pleas from the two automakers to extend the $7,500 tax credit for electric vehicle buyers. Only Tesla and GM have hit the 200,000 cumulative EV sales mark, at which point the tax credit is phased out, although Nissan could approach that level next year. Tesla's credits are set to expire completely after December 31st, and GM's will end on March 31st, which could benefit Ford and Fiat Chrysler automobiles as their EV sales efforts ramp up. Some states that have their own EV tax credits to support the industry include Colorado, New York, and Louisiana. Speaking of Tesla, what's left in the tank for the stock's rally after shares rolled to a 68% gain over the past 90 days? Tesla traded as high as $413 last week and has traders wondering if the mystical 420 mark could be eclipsed before the end of the year. The EV automaker seems to be riding high off some of the news coming out of China. The cooling of the U.S.-China trade war is seen as a positive, and registrations of Tesla vehicles in China climbed to a five-month high in November. In box office news, all eyes are on the box office performance for Disney's Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker as it makes its opening weekend run at theaters. Disney said it expects to generate around $160 million over the 3 days, while some industry forecasts are up around $200 million mark. A global haul of at least $1 billion seems like a lock after Star Wars: The Last Jedi churned up over $1.3 billion globally and Star Wars: The Force Awakens brought in over $2 billion. This week in Barron's Mentions, the stocks and the themes drawing attention in Barron's Weekly Edition. The publication notes that Becton Dickinson's return has trailed many of its peers this year on concerns over heightened regulatory scrutiny of a product. The stock is called undervalued, given the solid earnings growth and expanding margins, which have been boosted by synergies from two major acquisitions in the past 5 years. China Mobile is also identified as a cheap stock as it trades at 11x 2019 earnings. The company's outlook set to be improving with the recent rollout of next-gen 5G services. Legendary stock pickers advise investors that they should invest in what they know and remind that if you only invest in an index, you'll never beat it. We end this week's Stocks to Watch with our single stock focus. As we mentioned last week, we'll be covering Seeking Alpha Author's picks for 2020. This week, we cover Edmund Ingham's pick, Bio-Rad. Bio-Rad shares closed Friday at a bit under $373. Ingham starts out with his background on the stock. Back in July, I recommended Bio-Rad Laboratories as a potential buy and suggested the share price could reach as high as between $370 and $400. It was trading at $313 at the time, by the end of 2019. At the time of writing this update, Bio-Rad is trading at $366, having corrected slightly from an annual high of $375 achieved on December 6th. Of course, I was not the only Bio-Rad admirer at the time. Analyst consensus price targets were between $340 and $370. The overall growth of the company looks even more impressive if we look back to the very start of the year when the stock traded at around $226. That's a gain of just over 61%, albeit the low price at the start of the year was due to systemic issues, a mini stock market crash, from which Bio-Rad quickly recovered its losses. Ingham continues, "The near constant growth of the company's share price presents an interesting question for investors to answer. Will Bio-Rad's share price keep going up or will it reach a saturation point and plateau? In other words, should an investor hold onto or purchase Bio-Rad in the expectation that the only way is up, or hunt for a stock with a less impressive track record but with greater potential for sudden explosive growth? There are certainly signs that recent growth may be unsustainable. Bio-Rad is in something of a privileged position, however, providing products and solutions that are of critical importance to the life sciences and clinical diagnostics industries. Both sectors are experiencing rapid growth as biotech and pharma companies and research institutions are investing billions into drug discovery and genomic therapies. Hence, the case for ongoing demand for Bio-Rad services looks compelling. As a service and product provider to the life sciences industry, Bio-Rad faces fewer risks than its clients, such as clinical trials, approval of new drugs, securing research grants, intense competition, and time pressure. Instead, the company generates nice recurring revenue streams by supplying reliable, good quality products. This is also true of the clinical diagnostic side of the business, which provides the tools biotech firms and research institutions need to ensure they stay on the right side of the FDA regulations whilst developing their product offerings. Bio-Rad's scale means that it can continuously introduce new products and services that impact the bottom line and make up for any product obsolescence. Ingham then discusses the company's products. Bio-Rad does not provide breakdowns of its product sales. There are more than 9,000 of them after all. During the company's last earnings call, however, management pointed to double-digit growth of its digital droplet PCR products. As mentioned in my previous article, research suggests that this is a market that is expected to grow at a CAGR of 18% to reach $1.2 billion by 2025. As such, there is an exciting opportunity here for Bio-Rad to take a commanding share of a high-growth market. Bio-Rad launched its first FDA-cleared liquid biopsy test in oncology in January this year, leveraging its digital droplet PCR technology. Last month, the company announced the launch of the QX One Droplet Digital PCR system. Management says that the long-term target here is the IVD market. In the shorter term, they expect to see migration to QX1, which has a higher price point from existing customers currently using older products. This is a good example of how Bio-Rad stays ahead in the game by anticipating clients' needs and providing best-in-class products that keep pace with progress in the sectors they are active in, as well as unlocking new markets for its products in the process. As for Bio-Rad's margins and guidance, Ingham has this to say. Interestingly, the company's R&D spend has decreased over the past couple of years. In 2017, R&D spend was $250 million for the year. This fell to $199 million in 2018, and in 2019, R&D spend looks on course to be around $195 million. Management have said that reducing SG&A costs is a priority, but so far, the company has not been able to make any significant progress here. Q3 19 and Q3 18 SG&A expenses were almost identical, coming in at around $201 million. Based on my projections, they are likely to come in at around $813 million for the year, around $21 million less than in 2018. Cost of goods sold came in at $253.6 million in Q3 19, about $5 million less than Q3 18's $258.4 million. Operating income, however, did increase to $57.5 million from $36.2 million the previous year, but the company made a substantial overall loss for the quarter of $258.8 million, or about $9 per share. Investors should not be too concerned, however, as the loss was attributable to a change in the fair value of Bio-Rad's 35% stake in Sartorius AG. Ingham concludes with this. It's hard to see where explosive growth will come from in 2020, but the investment case remains relatively strong. Having reviewed Bio-Rad's financials and some of its product lines, hopefully I have illustrated why I think Bio-Rad is in a strong position. Market expertise, quality of product, volume of sales, and a proven ability to keep improving its product lines, anticipating its customers' needs. The company reported total current assets of over $2 billion in Q3 19, with nearly $1 billion of that figure held in cash and short-term investments. Debt is not overly burdensome, standing at $437.8 million, contributing to total liabilities of just over $2 billion. In short, if Bio-Rad keeps doing what it is doing, then it ought to at least maintain current share pricing through 2020, and quite possibly increase it. That concludes this week's Stocks to Watch. Thanks so much for listening. For the best investment analysis and news on the web, go to SeekingAlpha.com. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can sign up for our other podcasts, Behind the Idea, Alpha Trader, Essay for FAs, Let's Talk ETFs, the Cannabis Investing Podcast, and Marketplace Roundtable on those platforms as well. Have a great week.